Hello, everyone. This is Al with the CCW Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Dagny's here, too.
Hey, welcome to episode 18. We don't have a title just yet, but we'll make sure and put a snazzy one to this episode. We wanted to get an episode out there because it's just been far too long.
Yeah, we said that last time. It was right around a month, and here we are.
6 weeks.
6 weeks out. So we're really sorry. Not that you want to hear a whole lot about us, but we've just been having a busy summer, and Al?
Yeah, I've been busy. It's been a good summer. Been playing a lot of softball. I've been doing well. We're a pretty good team this year. I haven't played softball in a while, so this summer, every weekend has kept us pretty busy. So.
Yeah, not that that's an excuse, but, you know, yeah, Fridays and even Saturdays have been kind of eaten up by some really fun softball games and tournaments, and not an excuse, but here we are, so.
7 home runs, people.
Not that he's bragging or counting.
Not too bad, huh, from old Al.
Yeah, so you can hear he's having a really good time with that. So yeah, we want to just thank all of you for still staying tuned. Hopefully you are still staying tuned. We got a couple of emails. Hopefully we didn't scare you off from emailing us after our last episode on social networking and, you know. We have proof of female listenership. A review went up on iTunes by a woman, and that really, I can say it made my day.
Yeah, believe it or not, we haven't had any ladies listen, email us and listen, and up until that iTunes review, which really, really was very complimentary. And if you're listening out there, whoever left that review, please shoot us an email because we'd love to hear more about your story.
Yeah, how you came to Cary, how you found our podcast, and just a very meaningful review.
Yeah, so thank you. Thanks for the very, very kind words. Yeah, it just made our day, and wanted us to get an episode up before not too long. And while we're on kind words, we should mention a couple of emailers that were checking in on us.
Oh yeah, we had 2 people check in on us. Just wanted to make sure we're all right, one of them. And then another one, fellow member of our CCW community, awaiting their permit. Chad, maybe you've gotten it by now. He also put out a request for a future episode on home self-defense weapon selection. And we've mentioned it in the past, and you know that we're not quite there to having made that selection ourselves.
Yeah, basically he wanted us to break down the pros and cons of handguns, shotguns, and ARs and things like that. And he wrote us a very detailed email on that, too. And definitely, Chad, we're going to definitely work on something like that. And if you can hear a little road noise in the back, this is one of the podcasts from the road, so to speak. We got a big drive to dinner, and so we thought we'd get a pod up. This is perfect. I love our little mobile recording studio, but we apologize for any road noise. I also do want to say that the other email that we did get checking in on us was from Chris, and he wanted some advice on what firearm to get next, and he ended up going with one of our favorites, the Gen 3 Glock 19, and he said so far he loves it. So Chris, you made a great choice, and welcome to the club. And it's a fun club, and I know you're going to enjoy that 19 for years to come, or at least I hope you do. And so what else?
I guess we've talked a little bit about not knowing much about the shotgun for home defense, and it's been mentioned a couple of times, but we're at that point where I think we're about ready to make that decision and buy for ourselves, and Chad, and I'm sure there are other listeners that are maybe curious on our take, and so we're still kind of in that information gathering phase, and would love a little bit more detail on your recommendations or personal experiences. You know, we've heard Remington 870 and the Mossberg 500 is one that we mentioned. And in some of my further research, I've even heard that 20 gauge isn't a bad selection, especially for, like, I'm a little bit smaller. The recoil isn't as much. So, pros and cons, ammo that you would recommend, the reasoning behind it, all of that stuff.
Yeah, basically, we're just asking everyone who's listening, if they have particular brands that they like, we want, let us know. Just send us an email. The more particular you guys can be, the better, because we just really don't know where to start. We can go in a little bit into detail in our recent gun store visit and talk to you a little bit about us handling shotguns and how we were a little bit apprehensive to even look at ARs just because there was so much and we didn't know where to start. So all you experienced guys and gals out there, I know we have a ton of experienced emailers and listeners because, you know, you guys have told us and it's just been awesome, and we'd like to you know, poke your brains a little bit and pick your brains a little bit and gather some of the wisdom collected, not in a zombie type of way, but
poke your brain
in a courteous, friendly kind of way. So help us.
Yeah, when we did go to the gun store that we kind of prefer around us, and I guess from my own research, I was leaning towards wanting to find a youth model, or, you know, at least for comparison, and the two that kind of...
Why would you want to carry a youth model?
The stock would be shorter. It would just be more manageable. Your grip and everything would be easier.
Yeah, it sounds like it would fit you better.
Yeah, and I don't have the vocabulary to even describe. I don't... That's how little I really know. But from... I think I listened to a couple of Pro Arms episodes. I may have mentioned it before that they have, like, a two episode series on selecting. And the women all said that, like, a youth model is much more manageable for women, most women. And that, in reality, you should be buying that home defense shotgun in particular, but I would assume for all weapons, for the smallest person in the household that's going to be expected to manage it should the need arise. And that would definitely be me, not Al. So, you know, obviously he didn't want anything with pink camo, which is what we kept running into at the store we were at. But they had some just regular, like, black.
Yeah, I couldn't get over the pink ammo, guys. She, you know, the salesperson wanted to show us, you know, just the model, and she was like, well, just don't pay attention to the pink camo and just pretend, and I just said, I can't get over that, so.
Yeah, find me something black, he said.
Yeah, we made her keep looking.
So, I mean, that's where we're starting, and the youth, on top of just being smaller after handling a couple at the store, there's a nice weight difference for me, and I admittedly don't have a lot of upper body strength, so I'm also kind of gonna start instituting a new kind of fitness for carry routine for myself. I need to strengthen my upper body and my arms and my hands.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing to note too, is because, you know, personally speaking, when I first started carrying, I was working out a lot before I started carrying, and then when I started carrying, I almost got a little complacent, thinking, oh, well, now that I'm carrying, I don't need to work out as much and be in shape or anything like that, and it kind of felt like the gun became sort of a crutch for me, and particularly with these summer months being a little bit more active, I started focusing on working out again and exercising a little bit more, and a lot of good things start happening, you know. So I think one of the future episodes, if anyone is interested, is maybe thinking about, you know, how to keep in shape and, you know, incorporate that into your CCW lifestyle. I think that's very important, too.
Yeah, there's been so much said about the mental preparedness, but there's a lot to be said also about your literal physical preparation and not just, you know, the draw and things.
Sure, yeah. I mean, even we've been trying to eat a little bit better, you know, and healthier, and you know, so it's making a big difference. And, you know, one of the major reasons we haven't podcasted as much is because we just haven't had the time, because we have been trying to get more active out there. And I know that coming, you know, fall's coming and winter's coming, and so we'll have a lot more free time to podcast. But we wanted to make sure that, you know, we were actually living the life that carrying can provide you.
Sure. And I guess that leads us to what's probably the bulk of today's episode.
Yeah. This is a a big occasion. We haven't done a lot gun-related lately, and that's the biggest reason why we haven't podcasted in this long of a time. It's just there was literally nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I think probably the last time either of us was at a range was when Al took his training that he podcasted about.
Right. So, and, you know, we've been traveling and all that stuff. So, you know, you guys know how I feel about Glocks. And you guys know how I feel about 1911s. And so, against popular opinion, I did sell or trade in my first gun, and I know that everyone online and everyone even at the store said that you'll regret the decision for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I know. Can you almost hear a collective groan out there with our listeners?
I can. So I no longer own that Smith, guys.
So what started as me asking Al if he wanted to go to our store just for fun to kind of start our shotgun search turned into him packing up, and I was surprised. And then,
well, I packed up the Smith 1911. You guys, you know, listeners will know that I've been thinking about selling it and trading it. So I just wanted to see what our favorite gun store was going to offer me, and, you know, had no intention of really entertaining it for a trade, except for one specific gun. So,
yeah.
And it was funny, we got there and looked through the cases, and they were, you know, they had to send the gun in the back to have, you know, I am assuming an armor, check it out.
Yeah, if you guys have never traded or sold a gun to a gun store, it's rather easy. I basically just took everything that the gun came with when I first purchased it. You know, two magazines, the gun itself, the case, the instruction manuals, things like that. Even the waxy paper that it was wrapped around. Made sure the gun was unloaded, of course. You want to clear it and make sure the magazines are empty. I even locked the gun back and showed clear, so, and kept it in that state, just so that whenever the person who first handled it opened the box, they could see immediately that it was unloaded. I think that's an important thing to do. Once I entered the store, I had the case with me, and, you know, as soon as someone asked if they could help me, I just said, yeah, I just wanted to get someone to look at this and see what they'd offer on a sale or trade. And sure thing, they took it in the back, and I think gave it to one of their appraisers or something. And their appraiser came back really quickly with a cash offer. And then I asked if it changed with a trade, and he bumped it up a little bit for trade. So it was an interesting thing. It all happened pretty smoothly, and
Al was, I think, ready if I knew what shotgun I wanted to put that towards a shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to. The 1911 was quickly becoming a safe queen. Wasn't getting any kind of use whatsoever.
Yeah, let's be honest. It's not been shot once since it came back from the Smith factory from the repair.
Exactly. It's been perfectly fine, and it's mint condition, and I think it's better than new, but I don't know, I just, you know, wasn't carrying it, wasn't shooting it, so if Dagny wanted a shotgun or an AR, which she does, and we'd kind of, you know, we thought we'd selected two brands that we'd really like, the Remington 870 and the Mossberg 500, and if she'd found something that she'd really like, I'd figured we'd just put that 1911 in for trade and see what else there is that we could get for the difference. But didn't quite end up turning out that way.
No, when they finally took all of the materials into the back to take a look at the gun, we started to look through the cases.
Yeah, and I just, the only gun, you know, I'm sure that there are other exceptions, but the only gun that I had in my mind that I wanted to trade for was the gun that I ultimately did trade for. And it was, drum roll please, a Glock 30 short frame.
Yeah, you heard that right.
This is not a recording. Well, it is. But it's not a repeat. Or it is a repeat. It's a different gun. I got another one. I got another Glock 30 short frame. And I traded it in for my 1911. And I'm sure you guys are moaning and groaning, thinking I got ripped off. And probably did from a monetary standpoint. But I am very much at peace. And
when we left the store, I told Al I had an adrenaline dump. I couldn't believe he did it.
It was pretty intense, people. It was. It was like you know, it did hurt a little bit. I thought I was immediately missing the Smith 1911. The cool part about it, though, was that I was selling it back to the place I'd originally bought it from, so it was going back home, so to speak. So
I think, you know, I talked to Al after we left, and he was home, and he's giddy like a little kid at Christmas. I think part of what it came down to was he felt like it was time to get what he would really like for a number of reasons.
And it's what I really like times two, you know, redundancy. Two is one, one is none. I really wanted something that I know that if my first preferred carry weapon went down, then I'd have a second one just like it. It doesn't have the night sights or anything on it yet, but I will remedy that soon. I just, right now, I'm just basking in having a brand new backup carry pistol that I have all the confidence in the world in, and that I'll know how to use it. I think they call it the manual of arms, basically how to use that firearm. So it's a very big moment. I thought you know, I took a hit financially on basically what I put in versus what I got out of it. Obviously have a lot of 1911 magazines and holsters that I no longer need. If anyone out there wants some, let me know, and we can work something out. So, otherwise, I'm going to keep them thinking that somewhere down the road, a 1911 finds its way back into my hands. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that, so...
Yeah, I think he's just, I thought for sure maybe after sleeping on it a while, he'd be like, nah, you know, everybody was right, but he looks at that box with that mint 30 short frame, and he gets the biggest smile.
I'm happy. I'm not regretting it yet, so maybe I will. I don't see it happening. I feel like my case is always the exception to the rule, so to speak, so overall, I'm very happy, and I'm happy to support the local gun stores out there, and, you know, they have to make their profit too, so obviously they can't give me what I put into it. So I came in with realistic expectations, and they pretty much met the number that I wanted, and so it turned out to be pretty fair trade in my book, so to speak, so that everyone makes money, everyone's happy. Yeah, that's big, very important for me, and don't want to pull one over on them, and they don't want to pull one over on me. And so we ended up getting another holster for you, right,
Becky? Yep. They threw in a sticky holster with everything. It ended up being a completely even trade last night after everything was said and done and tax and yada yada. And it's sticky brand. I believe it's an SM2, which fits my car, P380. And I've talked about this on many other episodes, kind of excited to try one, but just not sure that it would live up to, you know, kind of my expectations based on videos and stuff that I've watched. And they let me just, you know, pop it in my appendix position there with a gun from the store. And it was really comfortable. When I squatted, there was nothing digging into me. It's incredible how much thinner it is when it doesn't have the width of the gun structured into the holster like the leather holsters all do.
Right, and it seems like, for those of you who don't know, the sticky line seems to have a very smooth draw, so you can draw it, but it sticks to the clothing that you're wearing that's concealing the weapon, so it allows for an easy draw, without having the holster fall out, and there's nothing really holding that holster in except for the stickiness of the outside.
Yeah, and I, you know, Al was little, he's like, can you really draw? And I stuck it in appendix position, and I drew, and everything stayed where it belonged. And of course, reholstering's tougher because it's soft. I don't want to say it's like on the inside, it's not neoprene or anything, but it's a very soft, it's flat when you take it out. It just conforms flat again. And so you have to kind of, you know, ease it open to get the gun back in there.
Yeah, it even looks like it's perfect for a pocket carry too, so it's something that maybe I could use it.
Yeah, but he still hasn't wanted to pocket carry like this summer. But even for me, I know I'm kind of looking forward to being able to throw it in my winter coat pockets, or even this fall coming up, or hoodies or something, you know, it'll stick in that hoodie pocket and protect the trigger and be everything I need it to be.
Yeah, it was came highly recommended from one of the people that we really respect at the gun store, so the fact that they could throw that in the trade was the icing on the cake. So,
and it was pretty cool because Al was filling out all his paperwork for the sale and then the purchase of the new short frame, and she was talking to me, you know, like, oh, you need anything? I'm like, no, well, no. And it was like, I've got a car, P380, not really happy with how it's performing. And she didn't try to make a sale to a new gun. She opened up that gun case right away, and I thought she was going to pull out a revolver or something, because women are always, it seems, told to have a revolver for the reliability, and I thought for sure that's what she was going to, you know, do. And she pulled out a P380 pink right after we looked at all the pink camo shotguns. Made me giggle, but she pulled it out and just handed it to me and said, show me how you shoot at the range, or, you know, show me how you're practicing. And she, you know, emphasized, like, you need way more grip on your supporting hand. That'll probably solve your problem. And then she, you know, we asked about carry, and she went and got that sticky holster and had me try it, and it was, you know, no overselling. We've always had a really good experience at this place, and so I'm very pleased. And I carried with the sticky holster, and it's comfortable. My biggest concern, honestly, is when I go to the restroom. It's not like the Galco where it's, you know, you have the belt over it that kind of holds it to your pants. So that'll be something I have to get used to. I have to place it somewhere.
A future episode, how to go potty and carry at the same time.
Yeah, for you men, it's like whatever. But women, you'll appreciate this if you're out there listening. So trying to think of...
That'll be our most downloaded episode, I'm sure.
I don't know. What else is... I guess I've still been all summer carrying in the ankle holster. I'm not a big shorts person, even in the crazy heat we've had, so the ankle holster's been doing well for me.
You can talk a little bit about carrying away, you know?
Oh, yeah. The only other thing I really have is I've carried once or twice for a little bit of, like, an extended weekend or something without Al, and it's the first time I've really carried without him. And it sounds funny, even to me, to say it, but it's very different to be carrying when you're all alone than to be carrying when you're with someone else, whether the person you're with is carrying or not. And the heightened level of awareness of your surroundings.
Maybe even the heightened awareness that you're carrying by yourself.
Right. I felt very... I don't want to say that I'm not in condition white normally, but I was definitely a step up from where I normally am. And I probably freaked myself out a couple of times. I was visiting family and woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a truck. I looked out the blinds, and there was a truck idling, pulled over at the curb a little past the house. And there have been a series of home invasions and murders, frankly. And it's a rural area in a town, but it's rural. It's a little village. And so my heart started racing. And that particular weekend when I was visiting, I had my car with me for my ankle carry during the day, but I also took the Glock 19 for nightstand while I was there.
You're darn right you did.
and I jumped up and I grabbed that Glock and I was like hovering under the window and I was shaking like a leaf. I wasn't sure. And then I was like wanting to laugh at myself, like, you're being ridiculous. Nothing's gonna be, you know, it's that mindset. And so I was just waiting to see somebody get out of the truck and grab a shotgun or something. I was like, if that happens, like, I'm gonna grab the phone and call 911 and I'm gonna get my family and shove them in the bathroom. And in the meantime, to add a layer of like anxiety to this, I have not carried around my family before, and they don't know. As you recall, our families don't know that we own guns or carry, and so it's always just been Al. And I was alone, and I was carrying, and so I just was like, oh my gosh, if something happens, what? And nothing happened. Long story short, nothing happened. I don't know why the truck was pulled over at like 2 in the morning. It scared the crap out of me, but everything was fine. And I have since realized that that ankle holster is not in any way practical for needing to draw with any kind of quickness.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's not something that you're ready for right now, but like with all things, you can train yourself to the point where it would be a faster draw. Yeah, right now it's not going to be a pretty sight if you needed to use it very quickly and you're fishing for your ankle and doing a split type of thing. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a viable carry position if you're experienced with it and you know what you're doing, I think, you know.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad and I would disrecommend it, but for me, when it's primary carry, I would probably at this point recommend it more for backup carry. Or maybe they sell the ankle holsters that are Kydex, so you just kind of snap it into place. The one that I have is a cheaper model, and it's got like the neoprene sort of sleeve and the elastic band with Velcro that goes around the ankle, and then over the top, over the back end of the gun, it has a strap that snaps the gun into the holster so it doesn't fall out when you're running and stuff. And it's very secure, but it makes it almost too secure to do any kind of a quick draw. It's kind of hard to unsnap it, honestly. It's really snug.
Yeah. What else do we have to talk about?
I think that might be about it. We weren't lying to you when we said we haven't really done a whole lot to report on the gun end of things. It's been a very quiet summer for us.
Yeah, knock on wood, except for that incident while you were away. It's been a safe and happy, wonderful summer. I hope that everyone out there is paying attention too. I just wanted to send a little public service announcement that if you guys are waiting on buying something or getting something, whether it be another handgun, an AR, or a shotgun, you guys, I know, have been paying attention, so maybe you guys jump on that before things might change, you know? That's one of our impetuses on getting a shotgun and potentially an AR and kind of just getting it while we can and getting it while it's easiest to do so, you know? And it's just not going to go much further into that. I don't think I need to with you guys. And so if you're waiting on something, why not put it into the economy, help out your local gun stores, buy it online if that's your thing too. And, you know, I don't think you'll regret anything that you do in the next couple months in terms of additions. So,
yeah. When you say additions, I guess that leads me to the only other thing is that I did handle a Glock 26 while we were at the store and Al was settling on his 30. And kind of confirmation that it's not going to be the step up for me that I was kind of hoping it would be. The double stack is just too wide for my grip. But, you know, that's valuable knowledge to have, and I can move on in that search.
Yeah, we're thinking ultimately single stack, 9mm might be the sweet spot. We haven't found a particular model for her to give a whirl.
What was it that they handed me? Was it a Springfield XD?
XDS. We got a chance to handle this new Springfield. Well, it might not be new anymore, but it's new to us, kind of, the Springfield XDS. Andrew from Minnesota months ago told me about it and sent me the YouTube links, and that was pretty cool. We finally got a chance to hold it. I think it'd be pretty cool. It's a pretty darn nice next-gen functioning weapon with the almost 1911 thinness. It's got the 1911 round problem, though. It's, I think, 6 plus 1, but other than that, it was pretty cool. We just drove by a gun store. Oh, hey, we might have to check that out if there's time. Hey, that's the perks of driving around for dinners. But other than that...
Yeah, I think that wraps it up. So thanks for listening and staying tuned.
Yeah, thank you. We will tentatively promise to keep putting out episodes. And thanks for your patience. No hate mail since we've been gone, so that's always good.
Not tentatively putting on episodes, just with more regularity. There will be more episodes.
Absolutely. We have the potty one to do. We're going to do one maybe on fitness, too, and then we'll definitely do one a little bit more detail on shotguns and ARs. And if you're new to that sort of thing, maybe you might learn something. And
yeah, even if you don't have knowledge or information to pass along, but you have other questions, pass those along, too, and we'll try and get them answered for you.
Definitely. And so with that... I just want to say thank you for staying tuned, and...
Semper Patare.